Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I know that God has appointed for us to be here this day. He knew it ahead of time. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand before you, ladies. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm married. I have 4 children and 2 grandchildren. I've been walking with the Lord for about 15 years, and immediately when I came to the Lord, I started attending Calvary Chapel La Mirada. So this is the church that I've been at since I've been saved. And I want to share a few things that God put on my heart as we go through the theme verse of 1 Corinthians 13:2, and it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known." I just want to open up in prayer. Dear Lord, we just come before you this day, and I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would open our eyes and our ears to see your love. I pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would move and work in this place. I pray that you anoint this time. I pray that you would move me out of the way so that your Spirit, Lord God, would speak in and through me, Lord God. And each lady here today, Lord God, would be impacted or spoken to or encouraged in some way, Lord God. You only know, Father God, where they're at, Lord God, and what they need, Lord God, because they're your daughters and you love them and you love us, Lord. So I just pray, Father, for your anointing upon this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We find these verses towards the end of the chapter of love, because 1 Corinthians 13 is referred to the love chapter. Mm-hmm. Paul shares that without love, nothing else we do matters. So we can see that love is the most important thing that we have received and that we should give. And Jesus said to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. These two things I never understood until I started walking with the Lord. Growing up, I never experienced love as a child from my parents. My mom and dad were, they were drug addicts. They left me, you know, with my grandma to be raised. You know, and I thank God for my grandma, because, you know, if it wasn't for her, I probably, who knows where I'd be, you know, maybe foster, I don't know. But when I came to the Lord, I had no prior knowledge of who Jesus was or God. I remember growing up, my grandma would take me to a church, but I just remember like the fun little class, you know, but never in the home did she ever, I never even knew about the Bible, or I didn't know about Jesus. So when someone told me about the love of God and you know, the God of the universe that created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, he loved me. It was like, it was beyond my comprehension. It was too good to be true. That, not only that, but his son, Jesus, you know, he died for me and he died for my sins. And I know that where I was at, when that happened in the time of my life, just like my mom, my dad, what they were doing, what they did to me, abandoning me, I was also doing to my own daughter. I got pregnant at the age of 14. I had my first daughter at 15. And I left her. I left her with my grandma. And I went and I lived my life, you know, as a teenager, you know, partying and I was searching. I was searching for love. But I was searching for love in all the wrong places, you know. And but by the grace of God, I looked back and I said, he saw me. You know, he saw me even when I was a little girl walking through the church field, because I lived next to a church. And I remember when I was young and little, I used to walk through the field and try to get the little caterpillars and butterflies. But I would talk, and I think, I don't know, I would talk to God, even though I didn't really know. I don't know, it was bizarre, but I looked back and I said, oh, God saw me. God saw me, even as that little girl at night crying for my mom, you know. He saw me even way back then. So fast forward, you know, he sent someone to share his love. And it was, like, amazing. It was like, what? Like, it was just too good to be true. Anyways, let's see. One verse that greatly impacted me when I came to the Lord was Jeremiah 29:11. If you want to turn there. And it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It was wonderful to know that God had a plan for my life, and that plan was a good one. Before the Lord, I couldn't see a future in my life. I had no hope. And like I said, I was repeating the same cycle as my parents did to me with my daughter. But through the goodness of God's plan, I was able to meet my husband. And I got married. And I had three more children. And we were serving the Lord. You know, I got married in the Lord. I got saved, and then later on, my husband got saved while he was, well, when we were dating, God separated us, and he went to prison. But we were still together when I got, you know, when I got saved, you know, he was in prison. But through that, you know, he got out, and, you know, he gave life to the Lord, and we got married. And that was over beyond what I could even imagine or think, because really no one in our family ever, you know, got married. They just did things, to, you know, get pregnant and whatever, you know. And so we had a beautiful wedding, and we had three more children. And things were good. We were serving the Lord. We were in ministry. We had the new married couples at our house. We had college and career at our house. We were serving in children's ministry and the high school ministry, and he was teaching at the Bible college. We were immersed in ministry and serving the Lord. Things were good, but then disaster happened, and disaster hit our marriage. I was here on these grounds at a pastor's wife's retreat because my husband was being raised up, you know, as a man of God, you know, to maybe become a pastor. You know, we were serving. And Lisa invited me to a pastor's wife's retreat. And I remember, I think it was a Saturday morning, we had breakfast, and I got a phone call. And that phone call, I had to walk away from the table. No one knew what that phone call was, and pretty much God was exposing my husband's sin. He brought it to light. But what a bad place to be out here at third. You know, it was good, but and I was devastated. I didn't know what to do, what to say, and I was like, Lord, like, this is not supposed to happen. You know, we're serving you. But you know what? Disaster comes to all, sooner or later. Matthew. You could turn there. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains ascended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for its foundation was on the rock. The floods came, the storms came, and it beat on my life, our life. Like a bomb just like was dropped, you know, in our lives. And it was like, whoa, where did this come from? How did this happen? And I remember I went to the room, and I was just, so I called my sister and I told her, can you pick me up? Can you pick me up from your tree? Because I got a ride here. And no one knew. I didn't tell no one what happened. You know, I got my key, but I went back into the main teaching. And I sat there while I was waiting for my sister to come pick me up. And I remember there was a pastor's wife, and she was sharing. And I knew it was for me. And she said, how she was explaining how God had given her a vision. And she didn't know if it was for like a nation or for an individual. But the vision that she had was there was like a tsunami that came and brought devastation upon the land. But as she looked out, she saw this one little reed sticking out of the ocean. You know, everything was devastated, you know, wiped out. But there was this one little reed. She goes, I don't know, ladies, if this is for our nation, for the church today. There's going to be a devastation coming upon our land, you know. But we're going to stand. We're going to be, she goes, or it could be for an individual. That there's going to be a devastation has come on your life. And you're going to stand. And I was like, wow, Lord, is that me? Is that me? He knew. He knew what I needed. And just like in verse 12, I only know in part. You know, God sees the whole picture. I began to cry out to the Lord and to tell him that I didn't know what to do. I needed his help. And I couldn't do it without him. The Lord began to speak to me. He once again began to show me and remind me of how much he loved me. God is good and faithful, and his timing is always perfect. During that time, I was reading the book of John. Before I would open my Bible, just like I'm talking to you ladies, I would sit on my bed. And I would say, God, speak to me. I want to hear from you. Show me from your word what you want me to do. But before that, I went home from the retreat. And I was like, Lord, you know, give me the words, because I mean, I have to confront my husband of what's going on. You know, and my husband's a pretty smart, talented man, and he knows how to like argue. You know, he comes at you this way, and you can't win with him. You know, he knows how to get the last word. So I was like, Lord, you know. And ladies, he gave me a supernatural calmness, supernatural peace. I wasn't crazy. It was like, it was the Holy Spirit, like a Holy Spirit moment, really. And I called him and I told him, you know, when you come home, I need to speak to you about what? I just need to speak to you, you know. I called my grandma, can you please take the kids? You know, and I was able to share with him. I decided, you know, either you leave or I'm going with the kids, you know, but this has to take place, you know. I think there is boundaries and rules that we do need to put in place so that, you know, to show like, no, this can't be, you know. And I told him, you know, you need to step down. You need to go to Pastor Brian. You need to step down. You need to tell him what's going on. You know? My husband had been looking at him. And it came to light. And you know what? You can't do that. You can't. Like Pastor Brian said, he loves you so much that he will not allow you to continue down that path, because he knows where it leads, and it leads to destruction. And I know he loved my husband. I read in John 9, 1 through 3. It talks about a blind man. and how they asked Jesus, how is it this sin, whose sin was it that this man was born blind? Mm-hmm. Was it his sin or the sin of his parents? And he says, but not, it wasn't, no one sinned, but that God should be revealed in him, the word of God would be revealed in him. And sometimes it's not even what someone has done or what we have even done. Sometimes things just happen in life so that the work of God would be revealed in that. And another place I began to read was John 10, if you want to turn there. John 10, 2. It says, but he who enters by the door, is talking about Jesus, a true shepherd, is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the door opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And then 14:15, it says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I love it because he says, we know his voice, his sheep. And to know that he calls me by name, he lays down his life. He knows my hurts. He knows my pains. He knows my fears and even my deepest desires. And you know what? He was showing me. He says, I know your husband. I know your husband by name. I laid down my life for your husband. And I know him too. Ladies. Are you his sheep? Do you know the voice of the good shepherd? John 10:29-30 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. For I and the Father are one. I'm one of his sheep, and I belong to him. And not only that, it says he knows me, and that he knows me by name. Does he know you by name? Another verse that, during that time, God spoke to me. And he was ministering to me. And like I prayed, Lord, God, speak to me, right? Show me. I want to hear your voice, Lord. You know, and it was through his word. And really, it's like, wow, I'm a sheep. I recognize what you're saying, Lord. I recognize your voice. And it was just, you know, what's an audible voice? But it was just like black and white, right there, plain for me to see what he wanted me to do. And if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 2:7, and this is what he was speaking to me. It says, so that on the contrary, you ought to rather forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. And verse 11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. God told me I must forgive and I must comfort him and I must reaffirm my love to him. And it says right there, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. My husband, he was hurting too. He was sad. He's like, he could lose his whole family and everything. And he wanted to do anything he could to make things right. But I know he needed to get alone with the Father. And he needed to work those things out. But God needs to work something in me. And as he was working in me, he told me, Brianna, you need to love your husband. You need to love him through this. He goes, because that brings, we're not, it says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan will use that sin, especially a sin like pornography or sexual, you know, immoral things, or because it's very shameful. It's very embarrassing. And my husband, yes, he was serving, but he felt he didn't have someone he could go to and confide in. You know what I mean? Because here he is serving. He should be right on, right? But he was struggling himself. He was battling back and forth, you know? And so even when he said, when he shared with Pastor Brian what's going on, Pastor Brian said, how do you feel? He says, I feel like a relief. I feel like a ton has been taken from me, because he had been carrying this. He knows what he was doing. And he wasn't happy. Who could be happy? So it was just like, I see the love and the grace of God. And I told my husband, Juan, I said, God loves you so much that he brought this to mind. I said, because he knows where it's going to lead, and it leads to further destruction, you know, further sin. You know, Satan gets you deeper in that grip, you know. And it says here that we are not ignorant of Satan's tactics. In John chapter 8, you don't have to turn there. I just want to read. But another place that he spoke to me, it was about the adulterous woman that the religious leaders brought before Jesus. And the woman, when the accusers brought the woman to Jesus, Jesus said, he who's without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. That convicted me. I was convicted because I was not without sin. So how could I be the one to throw the first stone at my husband? And once all those people were gone, Jesus said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. If Jesus forgave me, and I know he has forgiven my husband, because I know my husband cried out and asked for forgiveness, who am I to condemn my husband if Jesus has forgiven him? And through this, I saw God's love for me, and that's how he also, and I saw how he also loves my husband, and he loved my husband more than I loved my husband. It says, this I saw, that my love should not only grow for my husband, but for all those who were around me. And that was even my mother, my father, and all those who had ever hurt me. It wasn't just forgive and comfort and love, just your husband. But there was many people, even from childhood, that, you know, that I was hurt by. And he says, love them also. John 13, if you want to turn there. John 13, 34 says, Jesus would say, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that's it. That's it. How are people going to know that we are, you know, his disciples, that we are a child of God? He says, if you have love for one another. 2 Corinthians 1:3, if you want to turn there. Okay.
says,
"Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles or all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The Lord spoke how he comforts us because he loves us. The purpose of his comfort to us is that we would comfort others. God doesn't come to our rescue just because we are his children. He does it so that we would learn to comfort others in their time of need. His ultimate will is to teach us to love as he comforts us in our time of trouble. God knows the big picture. As we have read in these in our theme verse, we only see things in part. There's a greater purpose in all of the difficulties that we go through. We only see through a mirror dimly. If you want to turn to John 15:6. John 15:16. And I want you ladies to read this with me slowly. And I want you to insert your name as I will insert my name and see what the Lord speaks to us. Because a lot of times, even when I would read, I would always put, when he would say you, I would say Brianna. Like it was like a letter to me. He was writing this to me, and I would put my name in here. So it was like personal, you know, it's not really, but it was to me. Okay, let's read. And you put your name, and I'm going to put mine. You did not choose me, Brianna, but I chose you, Brianna. And I appointed you, Brianna, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask, Brianna, the Father in my name, he will give to you. These things I command you, Brianna, that you love one another, right? And he would tell me that, Brianna, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you, you know, that you would go and bear fruit. And not only that, but that your fruit shall remain. And to know that I have been chosen and appointed. And how will I bear fruit? By following his commandment to love one another. Jesus was our greatest example. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for a friend." My husband is not only my husband, but he's my friend. He's my brother in the Lord. And you know what? When a brother or sister is hurting, we hurt. We hurt for them, and we come alongside them, and we want to encourage them and lift them up. And you know what? Through that, God was able to give me that love for my husband because he was struggling and he was hurting. Paul would rather later say in 1 Corinthians, "Let all that you do be done with love." John would later say in 1 John, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him." As we love our brothers or sisters or love each other, we become closer to the light because we are more like him. And as we are more like him, we are less likely to stumble and may be able to help others from stumbling. And that's just what the enemy would want to happen to the child of God. We would stumble and fall. So yes, we're going to go through difficulties. And many of those we have no fault over, and some we will have fault. And the Lord wants to remind us that he is a good shepherd. He will comfort us. Through his comfort, we will be able to comfort others. And not be the accusers like the Pharisees and desire to throw the first stone, but desire to have grace on others and show the love of Christ to others. By showing love, we should do what he has commanded us to do and bear fruit. Not regular fruit, but the fruit that remains. But in order to, for that fruit to come forth, sometimes, in, like we read in John 15, 1 through 8, we could turn there. It says, I am the vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, once again, Brianna, right? I'll put my name there. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For with me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. But if you, Brianna, abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Once again, and by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. There will come a day when we will see him face to face. And it's painful, the process of being pruned. It hurts. You know, it's painful. But he wants to produce good fruit. And, you know, I think of you know, that process of pruning, it's cutting. It's a cutting process, cutting it back. But when that fruit comes forth, it's good, it's sweet, you know, it's juicy. Mm-hmm. And that comes forth our life, and he wants to do that. And in closing, I would like to read 1 John 3, 2. It says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a glorious day that will be, when we will see him face to face, and we will know as he is known us, you know, that we don't see the whole picture, you know, God only... He wants to work something in us that we don't even know about ourselves. You know, and sometimes when he allows these difficult things, it brings something out that we never knew we could handle, right? Or we could go through and endure. A little quote from a book that I love, it says, There are no obstacles which our Savior's love cannot overcome. And that to him, mountains of difficulty are as easy as an asphalt road. And it's so true. You know, the difficulty is easy as an asphalt road for the Lord. And with that, I just want to encourage you, ladies, and that, you know, no greater love is this than to lay down one's life for a friend. And they will know we are his disciples as well. So we have love for one another. And so I just want to thank you, and let's pray. Lord, I thank you once again for this time. I thank you, Lord, for the things, the difficult things that you allow in our lives. Lord, I know you have a greater purpose in it. If we allow you to work those things in our life, I know it's hard and it's difficult. And it's painful, the process of coming forth to be able to bear good fruit that would remain, the fruit of love. And it says, Lord, that love, there's nothing like it. And it can restore, and it can rebuild, and it can heal and mend. But if we have not love, we are nothing. Lord, you are a great example. You laid down your life for us. You shed your blood for us, so that one day we will be with you in heaven and see you face to face. Lord, we only know in part right now, but there's a greater picture in store. And each one of us, ladies, we have a story to tell. We're on a journey. And whatever that journey takes us through, Lord God, we know that you are the good shepherd that's going to lead us in the way we should go, to good pastures, to good places, to be watered, Lord. And we could trust you, and we could trust your word, and we could trust your voice when you speak to us. You know us by name, and you call us. And we recognize you because we are your sheep. And we know the voice of our shepherd, our good shepherd. So I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would speak to us, help us, give us strength to love, even in difficult times when it is difficult to love, Lord. But we would see there is a bigger picture. And the comfort we have received would be able to comfort those in times of need. And I thank you for that. You do give us a ministry of reconciliation. And you will use all that we go through in life so that it would glorify your name. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In